I'd like to bring the Town of Montville Town Council regular meeting of May 11th, 2026 to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our military.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Good evening, Agnes. Could we have a roll call, please?
Here.
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 All right. At this time, we have special recognitions and presentations. Mayor, we have a recognition of the Montville Police Officer Joseph Rosino as the 2026 Police Officer of the Year.
Nice.
Stephen.
Oh, I'm sorry, I said it's Stephen.
The mayor would like a couple minutes.
Yeah.
All good, Mayor? All set?
So, many thanks to the New London Lodge of Elks for bringing back the program of recognizing an Officer of the Year. New London does it for several local departments, and this past weekend I had the honor of attending the return of that program. And as I mentioned at the Lodge of Elks, police officers, anybody in law enforcement, we don't do the job for recognition, but it's nice to be able to say to the officer, one who's demonstrated exceptional service, that we do appreciate you. And Officer Fazzino, would you come up here, please? Chief, also come up, please. So I this is Officer Steve Fazzino. He's the one that's been selected as Officer of the Year for Montville. I can tell you that I have heard all good things about Officer Fazzino and his contributions to the department, always putting the best foot forward. He's a credit to the department, and he's a credit to the town. And I have a proclamation that I'd like to present to Officer Fazzino, which I presented on the Elks Award this past weekend. And it's a duplication for him, but I think it's great because I can say it again, how much we do appreciate you. And I'll take a minute to read it for you. Officer Steve Fazzino, Police Officer of the Year 2026. Whereas Investigator Stephen Fazzino has served with distinction as a dedicated member of the Montville Police Department since 2018, demonstrating unwavering commitment to protecting and serving the residents of Montville, Connecticut. And whereas through exceptional investigative skill, persistence, and professionalism, Investigator Fazzino successfully solved two robberies that had caused significant concern and fear within our community, leading to the swift arrest of the perpetrators, the recovery of stolen property, and the restoration of safety and peace of mind to local businesses and to citizens. Whereas Investigator Fazzino is a highly skilled accident reconstructionist who applied advanced technical expertise, scientific analysis, and meticulous attention to detail to determine the causes of several serious injury and fatal motor vehicle accident collisions, thereby improving roadway safety, supporting fair and accurate legal proceedings, and preventing future tragedies. Whereas Investigator Fazzino's actions reflect the highest standards of law enforcement, including thorough evidence collection, effective collaboration with fellow officers and community partners, and a steadfast dedication to justice that goes above and beyond the call of duty. Whereas Investigator Fazzino continues to serve as an outstanding field training officer and role model for fellow officers and a trusted guardian of public safety, embodying the value of integrity, courage, and service. Whereas in witness whereof, I, Mayor Leonard G. Bunnell, Sr., have hereto set my hand and caused the official seal of the town of Montville to be affixed the 9th day of May, say the 11th of May. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I also have the a town lapel pin I'd like to present him with.
Not everybody needs it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Chief, don't you say anything?
Just real quick. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for attending on Saturday night. When it came to me from the Elks to choose an Officer of the Year, it really wasn't a difficult choice. As I said Saturday night, and I'll say again here, Steve is kind of Johnny on the spot for me. He's assigned to the investigative division right now, kind of does all my vice crimes for me, is an accident reconstructionist, as the mayor said, and is always available, not only with his trusty canine partner, Gage, but, he's always available to come in, lends a helping hand, and really just does a great job. He also trains not only our new recruits, but he trains recruits at the police academy, both for the Connecticut State Police, for their new troopers coming up, and at the Municipal Police Academy, teaching gangs. He's just a wealth of knowledge, and we're really lucky to have him. So thank you for everything you do, Steve. And like I said, it was an easy choice. Next year, I'm going to have to think a little bit. So.
Thank you, Mayor. Now we have a presentation by Youth Services for Mental Health Awareness Month. So.
Yeah, if I could have Youth Services Director Barbara Lockhart come up and make a presentation on Mental Health Awareness Month.
Okay,
Barbara,
my team.
Pardon?
My team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're a great team, yes.
Thank you very much. I don't have much of a presentation. I do have a short little thing to read about how this whole campaign was born. Are you good, Pro Mental Health Campaign was born after a team youth mental health first aid training given by Mark Irons of the Southeastern Regional Action Council in July of 2024. In our post-training conversations, we were brainstorming on the best ways we can ask someone, are you okay? We wanted to keep it simple, but also memorable. Since our main demographic is youth, we wanted to be both creative and relatable. As many of us know, our youth population often create trends that sometimes sticks and sometimes they do not. However, the bro, and I'm sure everybody knows what that's about, trend has a pretty long shelf life. It's basic, universal, asexual, and I will admit a bit catchy. We chose not to take offense to being called bro at the youth center because we have found it can also be a term of endearment. I believe all of our team at NYSB have been bro'd a time or two. We know how tough it is for so many people to talk about their mental health, often due to their fear of stigma or judgment, or that it is a sign of weakness. Checking in with someone you think or even know has been struggling can be as simple as asking, you good? So we added the bro. And as you probably have seen on yard signs, billboards, and other platforms, our You Good Bro campaign has stuck. Our two featured segments on Channel 3's Great Day program, receiving the Municipal Excellence Award in 2025 and the placement of the 988 hotline sign on the Mohegan Pequot Bridge, are directly tied to our You Good Bro campaign and has only helped to spread the message about mental health awareness and the amazing resource of the 988 crisis line. Later this month, we will once again be a guest on Channel 3's Great Day program discussing our continued work in our community statewide and nationally related to mental health. And then again in June, which is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month in partnership with Mark Irons from CRAC, promoting the male-focused resource for support, mantherapy.org. Just remember, it's okay to not be okay. May is officially Mental Health Awareness Month, but for us it's important to be aware that there's help every minute of every day.
And to the Youth Services Department, to Barbara, I want to say thank you for all the work that you've done on this program, receiving not just local attention, but the statewide attention, and maybe even further going forward, it'll get some more recognition. The You Good Bro campaign is well worth the effort and the time and the money that it costs to keep it going, and we have you to thank for creating this and making it work and giving it some life. And we do appreciate that. And in appreciation of your effort and your work that you've done on the You Good Bro campaign, which does promote mental health awareness, and this is Mental Health Awareness Month. The proclamation is, whereas mental health is an essential component of overall well-being and how fostering opening conversations about emotional wellness strengthens individuals, families, and communities. Whereas many individuals, particularly young people and men, face social and cultural barriers that discourage them from speaking openly about their mental health challenges or seeking support when needed. And whereas the You Good Bro campaign encourages individuals who check in on with one another, ask simple but meaningful questions, and creates safe spaces for honest conversations about mental health and well-being. And whereas this campaign promotes compassion, understanding, and connection by reminding community members that a small act of care, such as reaching out to a friend, a colleague, or a neighbor, can make a significant difference in someone's life. And whereas increasing awareness and reducing stigma surrounding mental health can lead to earlier intervention, stronger support networks, and healthier, more resilient communities. And whereas the You Good Bro campaign aligns with the values of empathy, respect, and community engagement, encouraging all residents to look out for one another and support those who may be struggling. And whereas the third Friday of the month of May shall be designated as You Good Bro Day. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Leonard G. Bunnell, Sr., Mayor, do hereby recognize and support the You Good Bro campaign, encourage all residents of the town of Montville to participate in promoting mental health awareness, checking in on one another, and fostering a culture of care and understanding. In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of Montville to be affixed this 15th day of May, 2026. And congratulations, Barbara. Good job.
So this Friday, we're doing a mental health drive-up event for all town employees. Out front, I think former Mayor Jaskowitz remembers we did this for Mothers Against Drunk Driving many, many moons ago, where town employees, including the police, fire, anybody can drive through and get a green ribbon they can affix to their rearview mirror or their side mirror. And we'll have some resources and giveaways for all the folks who come. It caught a little bit of fire, and I got a couple emails today asking if the general public can come up. We're not going to turn anybody away to give them resources for mental health. So we're hoping for a good turnout. That'll be this Friday, May 15th, from 9 to 11 at the town hall entrance. We'll be set up out front. Hopefully it's not raining. But if it is, we'll be inside the foyer doing that. And I also did want to give a shout out to Jack Lukowski. He's the Day reporter. I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to read the article that was in Sunday's paper. He did. On our You Good Bro campaign and the drive-up event for town employees. So I thank you all for your support. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All right. Next, we have Land Use Director Dennis Goodyear outlining the proposed tax increment finance timeline.
Good evening. Dennis Goodyear, Director of Land Use and Development. Back in February, I presented an overview of the concept of tax increment financing to this council to get an understanding if it was a direction or an economic development tool that the council would be interested in. I think based upon some of the feedback I received outside of that meeting and after it, it seemed to be the case. I've had discussions with also with Planning and Zoning and Economic Development Commission, and we started to sketch out actual locations for where a TIF district or districts may want to be located. So tonight I'm here not only to discuss a timeline, but one, confirm your endorsement or agreement to move forward and explore this, as it is the council's responsibility as a legislative body to approve and ultimately manage it. It does fall upon you under the state statute. I do also have a request on behalf of the Economic Development Commission. They have asked to be recognized as the advisory committee to the TIF districts or district if you so choose to move forward. And what that means is they would be the body that would be responsible for making initial recommendations on the districts, understanding it, managing it, moving forward with recommendations that will ultimately be your decision. So that is another item. Also want to give you get some feedback on the districts that we've outlined that are in your packet, and then talk about a schedule moving forward to see if it would make sense with you, because there's still a fair amount of work that would need to be done before the end of this calendar year. So just as a refresher, the TIF district is an economic development tool that you place over a specific area or areas within town, and you capture the increment of tax revenue after that district has been established. And that increment that you capture and realize, some of it can go into the general fund, some of it can go into the TIF district fund, or all of it could go into the TIF district fund. You have that discretion. The caveat is that no more than 10% of the real property grand list can be within TIF districts. Those are some of the major highlights, and it does require a public hearing process to adopt the district and its master plan, and it can be amended at any time. And you do set a term limit, a limit, a duration of how long that TIF district would be established, up to, I believe it's a maximum of 50 years. But you do have broad discretion in its management, and setting its boundaries. In the packet that I sent you, in addition to the two district locations, is a TIF district policy document and a draft TIF district master plan. There's a lot of blanks in them. It's really the framework that I wanted to pass along before you so you can have a sense of what it might look like. This is based upon work that I had done when I was in the city of Groton. The city of Groton adopted a TIF district along Thames Street, extending roughly in the area of the Thames Street interchange when you get off over the Gold Star Bridge all the way down to the Five Corners area. That was adopted on the heels of the town adopting, I think, three or four TIF districts. They also established their policy. So both the policy and the master plan, they're basically boilerplate, and most towns look very similar. It's really what you put in them, the terms, the split between TIF district fund and general fund, as well as how the funds are used. That becomes some of the more things that vary from municipality to municipality. So the policy is, as I said, a somewhat of a boilerplate. It follows more formally the state statute, and I'm not going to go through it all tonight. I'm sure I'll be reviewing it with the Economic Development Commission if you all agree that it would make sense for them to be the advisory committee. I do want to just touch upon the districts. If you look at the two maps that are in your packet, and these were in the agenda packet that are online as well. The first one is the Gateway North TIF district is what I'm calling it. This captures in blue, and I apologize, I need to change the color, but some of the wetlands are also in blue there. But you think you can follow the bold black line. But it captures from roughly Fort Shantock Road area coming down to the south, roughly just north to where the Tantaquidgeon Museum is located. And then it spreads out, capturing the Montville Commons area and predominantly area zoned as commercial or seen in our plan of conservation as commercial or higher density residential uses. This does include the Mohegan Elementary School as well. The purpose for capturing that is if the school, you know, it's very common, you know, let's say in the future the school changes use and becomes repurposed, there might be an opportunity to capture, you know, increase there. And I'm not saying, I'm anticipating that it's going to happen. I want to make sure that's clear. But it's very common. Norwich is going through it. Groton went through it. I mean, it's not unusual. So just as putting my planner hat on, that's what I need to think about long term. This TIF district, as small as it is, I don't have the acreage, but this represents 5% of the grand list, predominantly because of Montville Commons. So district that's highlighted in green, the town-centered TIF district, we are calling it, this is based upon some of the findings of the Revive and Renew. It starts up along in the area of the police department and follows Route 32 down to just north of the Montville-Waterford town line. And you can see it extends out to 395, where there's a number of large vacant parcels in anticipation, maybe in the future, those are developed. And that gives an opportunity to capture value. And then out towards the Thames River. It does include strategically the wastewater WPCA facility because then we could utilize revenue captured in the TIF district for use for improvements to that facility as well. What it does not include, and I would like to suggest that this map would be amended, is the police department public safety facility parcel that the town owns. And as I will probably bring up during my staff report, we did issue an RFP last week for development of that site. for elderly housing in conjunction with the Houghton Cove or Houghton Manor property owners to do a joint venture development in that area. So if that was to be redeveloped, capturing that parcel as well might be a good idea. That this area constitutes 4% of the total grant list of real property value. So in total, between the two, this is 9%, which is 1% shy of the 10% maximum that can be allocated towards TIF districts. Subject to some adjustments of the lines and reaffirming our calculations in working with the assessor's office in finance moving forward. This is the concept. As I said, I've talked to the Economic Development Commission. They have not yet brought this up with planning and zoning. That would probably be on the agenda for the next meeting. We've had some long, lengthy meetings in the past, so we haven't been able to get to that one yet, but we will this month. But I wanted to present these two concepts to you and see if you had an initial reaction or any thought to that, or questions. In the two documents, if you've had an opportunity to take a look, I can try to answer questions then on those as well. But I think right now the focus is on the district, if this is something you want to move forward with.
I just have one question. The economic development, when do you need that? That's a recommendation from the town council for them to continue to be the, what is it you called it?
When do we need it?
When do you need the council to make the decision for economic development to be the arbitrators or
the advisory committee? I mean, it's the sooner the better. I'm not suggesting it's something you have to do tonight. Maybe at the next meeting it can be on the agenda for formal discussion.
Next meeting, that we get a little more information on what their roles and responsibility is, because it looks like a pretty big task. That's what I was, and it may need, I don't know. Because has this gone to TARP, this new policy gone to TARP or gone to our?
There hasn't been discussion about bringing it to TARP. I mean, it certainly could if that's something that the council feels is appropriate. But yes.
Well, I think all policy has to go to TARP, right?
Yeah, I'll talk.
Yeah, so that's part of the charter.
I'll talk to you then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So any questions for?
If I can, Dennis, I noticed on the supplemental email you sent out about the active TIF municipalities, I know there's only six in Connecticut that are on there.
No, there's more than six. I mean, there was
a follow-up that was sent out on that from Dennis.
Yeah,
there was an email that sent out from the mayor's office. That was a very brief listing, but in my presentation back in February, I think I identified about 18 or 15 or so. There are a number of them that have had them. Windsor is, I think, one of the first to have adopted one. They used it successfully for the redevelopment of their train station and that area around it as well. And the finance director, Julie Chapman, and I had a call with their director of economic development as well and got some positive feedback on how it's working for them. I think they use it very flexibly, if that's such a word, but they're very flexible with how they approach using the funds as well, too.
Let me just point out to everybody that, this is not a tax. It is identifying a specific area of the town and using the growth to fund development. And you think around what's going on, and the question about WPCA, the treatment plant, whether or not it's got enough capacity to support development. And we're close, but hanging over our head is an expansion there that has to be done eventually. If we're going to get any development in here, the treatment plant's going to have to be developed, expanded. And this is one opportunity to fund it at no cost to us. And you're not losing any money. You're only setting aside some of the growth in a specific small area that will be used for that development. I think it's a great idea, and I commend Dennis for the time and effort that he's put into here. And he comes to us with experience that it does work. So keep that in mind.
I would like to mention that at the July meeting, I'd like to be in a position to have a very refined district and have a much more refined policy and master plan documents for review. Goman and York, who will be doing our housing plan, will be they have been formally signed up, and we're closing on the grant with the state. They will be in attendance at that meeting, and they've worked throughout the state on TIF as well. You know, so they can draw and share their experience firsthand outside of I have somewhat limited local experience here. So, you know, they have the depth and the breadth of that. So I'd like to have them have the opportunity to present this to you as well and answer questions at that time. Thank you. And on the time frame, the intent that I had sort of set as a goal was to adopt the TIF by the end of this calendar year, because the new grand list will come effect October. So as long as it's adopted in the year that the new grand list is adopted, the district's adopted the same year as the new grand list, you realize the prior year's grand list. So then immediately going into the new year, you would have the immediate capture, perhaps, of assuming the taxes, the values are increased, you'll have that immediate capture right away.
Any other questions? Thank you once again for, I think you gave us a presentation last time, right? Like a PowerPoint?
Yeah, there was a PowerPoint, and
would you mind
we could send it out again.
Would you mind emailing that to us again? Because I know you did, and I it sounded like some of the counselors may need a refresher on it.
So. All right, we'll do that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks Dennis.
All right, any alterations to the agenda? All right, anyone? All right, hearing none. Consider an act of motion to approve the public hearing minutes of April 13th, 2026.
So moved. Second.
All right, any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. The regular meeting minutes of April 13th, 2026.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. Any dissension? All right. The Board of Ed public hearing minutes of April 29th, 2026.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. The general government budget public hearing minutes of April 30th, 2026.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Executive session. Consider an act on a motion to enter an executive session for the purpose of discussing strategy and or negotiations with respect to firefighter contract talks. Discussions to include member of the town council, Mayor Leonard Bunnell, town attorney Michael Sadai, and attorney Elizabeth Hillman. All right. Before I confirm that, just to mention that the town attorney, Michael Sadai, and attorney Elizabeth Hillman are not present. So do I have a second on that?
Second.
All right. Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor Harris?
Favor.
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 Favor. So that's 7-0 in favor. Mark the time. It is 7:35. Out of executive session at 8:07. No votes were taken. Consider an act of motion to enter an executive session for the purpose of interviewing candidates for the Parks and Recreation Commission. Discussions to include members of the town council and Mayor Leonard Bunnell, Sr.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call vote.
Oh.
All right. Councilor Jaskiewicz?
Yes.
Councilor Karen?
Yep. Favor.
Sevilla and Councilor May, favor.
Scary, isn't it?
Okay, out of executive session at 8:18. No votes were taken. All right. All right, this time I'd like to have remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit.
Good evening. My name is Timothy Condon. I'm the union president for the Mottville Firefighters, and I live at 51 Gallup Lane in Waterford. I just wanted to make a public comment about item 16F. Just to give a little history on the negotiations, we concluded with a TA on February 26th. The union went to ratify on March the 5th, I believe, and then this body had this same language before it on March 9th, I believe, was your meeting. The statute that's laid out under 16F, the Connecticut General State Statute 7-474B, appropriately lays out how the town moves forward after a TA and how they approve it. There are some pretty strict timelines in there. There's a 14-day period for the negotiating parties to alert the legislative body, you, and then that's followed by a 30-day approval process. The statute goes on to say after the 44 days, it is assumed that the CBA is then adopted by no action of the body. It is the union stance that this, we've expired, we've gone past that. However, we welcome any comments, and just as general comments towards the collective bargaining, I do want to thank the mayor. He was an excellent partner to negotiate with. He was well represented by Attorney Satti. The union is pleased. We think it's a fair deal and puts us on track for some needed growth in the fire service and sets us up for the future. So again, we maintain that this is passed in the background, but do welcome comments towards it. So thank you.
Remarks from the public regarding matters on the agenda. 3-minute limit.
Good evening. Vince Atwater Young, 375 Chapel Hill Road, Oakdale. I asked a question on the April 30th budget meeting in regards to the state contributing back to the towns. And at the time, we didn't know what the dollar amount was going to be. At this point, session has ended. My understanding that the towns are getting money. Do we know what that amount is?
Yeah, there's several different. There's several different categories. But it's a little over $2 million.
So the increase in the budget is going to be reduced then for our mill rate.
We haven't made any decisions yet.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'm going to go one more time. Remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. All right, moving on. Copy of legal bills from Sussman and Shapiro for the month of February 2026, and copy of the legal bills from Halloran and Sage for the month of March 2026. Everyone receive that in their packet?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Mayor, any report from the town attorney on matters referred?
Nothing to report.
All right. This time, remarks from the mayor and or administrative department heads to include matters referred.
Start off with planning and zoning. Dennis, you have anything more to say?
Just wanted to Dennis Godere, Director of Land Use and Development, update you on a few grant applications. CIF Round 9 is open. They're due on June 5th. We are proposing two applications. One is a capital for the town hall improvements associated with the boiler, AC, roof, et cetera. There was there is a needs assessment that is being conducted by an architect and construction management company. Those results will be completed later this week, and staff will be reviewing them and including them in the CIF application. I believe there'll be a special meeting of the council later this month to talk about a resolution. So we need more time to figure out what that number is for that application. There's a CIF round 9 planning grant application we're working on, also due on June 5th. That is for intersection improvement planning associated with Route 16332 Maple Avenue and Depot Road. And we are submitting for a Long Island Sound Futures Fund grant due Tuesday next week for the Oxabaxo River to understand water quality as well as remediation and cleanup where the dam was removed at Pickers Pond to enhance that area as part of the street and renewal of the town center. Housing plan grant, which we were awarded, we are awaiting a contract from the state. We should be getting, hopefully this week, that'll be wrapped up, and Goman and York will get started on that. And then at the next town council meeting on June 8th, the Revive and Renew team will be presenting their final plan and recommendations to you all that evening. And planning and zoning has been very busy with amendments. We have a public hearing on June 23rd, which will be addressing a number or addressing all of the housing bill requirements that came out of Public Act 25-1, which made housing as of right. Then we also submitted or released an RFP for the development of 911 Route 32 for elderly housing. That was done in conjunction or in tandem with the owners of Houghton Cove, which I had mentioned before. We set a deadline for July 15th to receive those bids. So hopefully, I haven't received any inquiries yet from questions. It's only been out for about 5 days, but.
You said July 15th? Is it?
July 15th, yeah.
Okay. That's still a ways out.
Yeah, it's advertised on state portal. I believe Julie put it on. I also put it on a national website for the American Planning Association, the state chapter as well. I've been sending it out to people in the development community that I know of and organizations nearby, as well. So.
Thank you. Can I ask a question about the town hall about the roof? Are we looking? I know originally we wanted to do the whole roof. And there was another option to maybe get the roof repaired. Are you looking at both or just replacing?
There are the construction company or construction management company and architects looking at it holistically and what the most appropriate would be. Yeah.
So what Dennis was referring to is I'm hoping to set a special town council meeting the end of this month, towards the end of this month, once we have figures on what the assessment study will reveal what it's going to cost, because we're not just talking the roof of the town hall, we're talking the pointing of the concrete, and we're also talking the boiler, which is something that we try to get done, have been trying to get done now for 2 years. So as soon as we get those figures, then we'll set up ask for a town council meeting special in the end of June.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Who's next?
Julie, you have anything more you want to report to us? Sorry, I know you gave us a lot of information earlier, but
I'll just recap. We just had the Finance Committee meeting this evening at 5 o'clock. We're 83% through the fiscal year. Revenues are at 83.2% collected. Expenditures are at 75.6%. The fiscal year 25 audit has started on site this week. And then on May 3rd, the state released the supplemental funding, additional funding to municipalities. So we began discussions for use of the supplemental funds. The total amount is $2,602,527. More Finance Committee meetings. will be had over the next couple weeks to begin finalizing the budget. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Police Department, Lieutenant Radford or Chief?
Good evening, Dave Radford, Lieutenant, Montville Police. Just a quick update on the ACO facility. They're finalizing a couple little items right now. Hopefully tomorrow or the next day at the latest, they'll be completed. I've reached out to the state to schedule the final inspection. Once that happens, we'll be good to go to move in and start utilizing the facility. We originally had planned on a two-part opening, if you will, a ribbon cutting and then a formal ceremony. It's going to turn into one ceremony or one event at this point, probably sometime in June, mid-June-ish maybe. We'll see if we can get some dates to work. But the animal welfare group, the end of this month, their grant that they received for the Memorial Garden is going to be installed the end of this month. So it'll work out very well that the garden will be done, the facility will be done by the time we have this ceremony. So it'll work out real well. That's where we're at. Any questions?
Sounds good.
Thank you, Lieutenant. The Parks and Rec, Peter Bushway.
We're going to be very busy the next month and a half or so. Currently, we're hiring staff for our summer programs. So I'm working with HR before she has an extended leave. Hopefully, we'll have that done by the end of next week. And then the first week in June, we have our food truck festival. The second weekend, it's our community tag sale. And the third weekend, it's the carnival, the 19th, 20th, 21st. The next day, summer camp starts. Farmers market starts July 7th on Tuesdays. And July 9th is when our concerts begin. So we're a little bit busy. And we are also putting in a SIF grant, which is the last thing on your list of things to do tonight. Thank you very much. So that's $2.662 million. And what it is the things we didn't get funded for the last round in round eight. So we're reapplying for that. And as Dennis said, it's July 5th is our deadline. So, wow, that thing is blowing cold.
What's that? You okay?
Any questions?
Cold.
Oh. Yeah. It's like, wow. Glad I got my coat on. Yeah, you put your coat on.
Thank you, Peter. Public Works, John Carlson.
John Carlson, Public Works Director. I got quite a list here. I'll go as fast as I can. Today we had our first meeting on the community center bathrooms. The building permit got approved, so hopefully they'll be starting soon on that. The Camp Oak Hill storage building is almost complete. The electrical is done. They're doing outside. They put in some bollards to protect the doors and stuff and a little cement work. I'm hoping by the end of this week or the beginning of next week I should have that CO for that building. Butlertown Road has been out to bid. We met with the contractor, had our initial startup meeting. I haven't gotten a start date from them, but hopefully we'll finish that section of road from Waterford Town Line to where we left off at the B&W paving. The tennis court parking lots, we did a if anyone's noticed that we dug up the ramp. We found the septic system that had been missing for many years. Now we have a location. Hopefully we'll get that back up and running. We did had a company come in and locate all the electricals so that we could safely mill the parking lot without tearing up the electrical sections. So I don't want to rip any lighting and stuff out. So we'll have that going and we'll know where all the lights are, all the electrical for all the lights that are out there. Large pavilion improvements. We're still working on some drainage issues. One of the problems we have is it's so close to the wetlands, so it makes it kind of impossible to make a parking lot there. I know everyone wants a parking lot, but gravel is probably our best route for that right now, and maybe a paving a small section for handicap parking. But that's what we're coming up with that. Currently, Public Works is working on the East Lake Road. We're trying to cut some of the embankments back. I'm looking to widen a section. I'm going to try and get someone to come in and take out some of the rock and stuff and then pave like about 1,300 feet of it, some of the worst sections of it for now, at least get something done up there. The dock and fishing pier is moving forward. I don't know if anyone's been down there. The dock is looking really good. The new ramp they put in is awesome. The fishing pier is slowly moving along, but they're slowly working on that. And I know Dennis has been working on more parking possible for the future. I'm currently working on the deep easy file for our industrial permit for the wastewater for Public Works and the transfer station. And of course, you know, everything comes with a bill at $1,300 for the two places from deep. Maple Avenue paving from last year, we have a few minor glitches going on. Just the grass is not growing like we had hoped. We're working with him to get a few punch list things completed, and hopefully that'll be done. I'm hoping by the end of this month or the end of next month, or the beginning of next month, we'll have the other half of 1.2 miles of Maple Avenue out to bid. We're trying to wait for the parking lot to get completed at the end of Sharps Hill before we start paving and stuff. Okay, I'm looking at chip sealing a few roads. I haven't quite nailed that down yet, but this winter has been very hard on the roads. The asphalt with potholes, we've formed quite a few more potholes than I had hoped for. Some roads have fallen apart pretty bad. Noble Hill is one of my roads that I'm looking at trying to do something. Parts of Fire Street fell apart, parts of New London Turnpike, but we're hoping that will get fixed when they finish the sidewalk grant that they got with Norwich and Monville. The main parking lot of Camp Oakdale, we did get a grant to do that. It's in survey mode right now. Come to find out, we're in quite a bit more wetlands than we want to be, but we're trying to gain a few more spaces than what's there. Currently, you know, it's outgrown the amount of parking spaces with all the events that happen up there. They had a mix and sticks up there, and there were people parking all up and down a Meeting House Road almost all the way to the church on Raymond Hill. So we've been sweeping. We're currently still sweeping. I know I get a lot of people calling up when you're going to sweep my street. I'm doing my best, you know, trying to get out there and sweep what we can as fast as we can. And pretty soon mowing will be starting. I don't know if anyone's noticed the grass is starting to grow pretty tall on the sides of the road. One of the things that we battle is the Japanese knotweed. That stuff is growing through curbing. If anyone's interested, when you pass Blaze Road headed towards Galvin's Lane, it is actually growing through the curbing. That's how bad this stuff is. So that's one of our battles. I try to keep up on weed whacking with it, but and try and keep it down, because then once the stalk gets too big, it hardens, and it's very hard to weed whack and keep. You have to mow it at that point. So if we can keep it from seeding, hopefully we can beat it up, but it's very difficult at times to keep up with that. So I know Dennis talked about the needs assessment he's working on here to hopefully get stuff done. I'm also working on trying to get the oil tank that's currently at the Fair Oaks, putting an above-ground tank and taking the one that's in-ground out. So that's another project I'm working on. So quite a bit happening. So any questions?
Good job, John. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. For my report, I continue to attend as many commission meetings and committee meetings as I can throughout the month. We have a new building official that started today, and Mark Tebbets from he comes to us from Norwich, so we're able to steal another good employee from Norwich. Expecting big things from Mark. He got a lot of experience, and he will be the department head. I attended the opening day for Little League this past couple weeks. I also attended the lacrosse opening day, and I could not believe the number of people that were there for this lacrosse opening day. It staggered your imagination, because they had used all the fields, and they were also at the high school. And trying to cut back on overtime, I didn't have anybody there from Public Works, and I had to call somebody in because it was that busy and there was so many things going on. Last weekend, I assisted in placing the flags on the cemeteries We had a good group, a good turnout for the first time in a long time. A lot of people there helping put the flags on the graves. And I attended the Officer of the Year with the Elks this past weekend. And don't forget, Memorial Day is Sunday. And the parade marshal this year is our Senior Center Director, Kathy Doherty Peck.
Thank you, Mayor. Any questions for the mayor? Right. Reports from standing committees, town administrative rules and procedure.
On agenda.
All right. For the finance, we've had at least six finance meetings going over the budget, and we'll continue to have. We have two more scheduled. More to come on that. Public Works Solid Waste, Ms. Spoken.
Public Works Solid Waste Standing Committee met on April 22nd, 2026. John covered quite a few of the items tonight that I had on here. The only thing that wasn't mentioned is that we did vote to approve the solid waste collection and disposal regulations.
Thank you. Reports from special committees and liaison counselors. Councilor Baker, Public Safety.
Public Safety Commission met on April 22nd, 2026. They elected Gary Murphy, the chairman, Steve Stewart, the vice chair, and that was for a two-year term. I read positive correspondence for one of the police officers. April 26 statistics, the fire department, 265 calls for service, an average of 8.83 calls per day, and the police department had 910 calls for service with an average of 30.33 calls per day.
All right. Councilor Karen, Commission on Aging, Nonprofit Organization, Social Services.
Another busy month. Social Services, the department is very busy, as the director has explained. The Social Services is always busy, even in good times and bad times. We're averaging about 1,200 residents monthly as it goes right now. The Social Service Department provides many services such as rental rebates, food stamps, Medicare, food for, and also our outreach program. As a reminder, the department runs entirely on donations besides what it is to pay our staff. We are fortunate that Kathy is working on some more grants and donations and contributions for our social service. The Senior Center, very important month that May is. May is Older Americans Month, nationally declared by President Kennedy in 1963. It is a time to honor our seniors for their contributions they have made to our country, our community, and our lives. The center holds a wonderful celebration for our seniors, which is free. This year will be held May 22nd, 2026 for our seniors. The community room, the beautiful community room, is almost 95% done from the donations from our the tribe. We did order a few new couches. Public Works has been putting them together, and thank you, John, for fitting that in. We are adding some new programs, for the seniors. But let everyone know that the town gives our senior center $12,000. That's for our program. The rest we have to raise. The director has to raise. Would help what orders she gives me. So some of the new programs: bird watching field trip free, book screen free, dinner and a movie. This one right here is $5 donation. Comes with food. Good Demons and Sacreds. That right there is free for our members at our senior center. Haircuts, that's $15. So, you know, this is just a few of them. I can keep going. The Garden Club. You know what? The Older Americans Month, that's free for our seniors. We're going to have some music there. We're going to So this is one of the busiest senior centers. I travel to senior centers, you know, plus dealing with the state on senior centers. You know, the psychic medium, that's free for our seniors. So you know what? I just really like to get it out there, because for the programs that we have, our biggest donator is the Mohegan Tribe. But if we didn't have these people, these generous people in our community, we're very lucky. There's a lot of people in our community that are very generous for our seniors. We owe it to our seniors to really be there for them. You know what? And I stress that even in our budget times, and that's about it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilor Jaskiewicz, Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes, sir. On April 28, 2026, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a regular meeting. Now, here's some of the highlights. An approval of a modification for a 22-unit condominium development at 245 Route 32. Oh, you can't hear me? I'm sorry. 45 Route 32.
There you go.
An approval of mitigation plan for unpermitted removal of earth products at Noble Hill Road, parcel ID 061-002-000. An approval for improvements to the pickleball court parking lot located at 176 Meeting House Lane. You know what that is, right, Peter?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, okay. A zoning report was provided. 41 new zoning permits were issued. 35 zoning permits were closed. And the next meeting is May 26th at 6 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Nobeck, Economic Development and Volunteer Firefighters Relief Fund.
Sure. So with the Economic Development Committee, we met on April 20th, and Dennis gave an overview presentation to us about the TIF tax increment financing. So he discussed that tonight, so I won't get into that further. He's doing a great job with trying to get this town some development. Our next meeting is on May 18th. We are still in the planning stages of having a breakfast for our business owners to see what their need might be from the town council. And as far as firefighter relief, we met on April 27th, and I do have some figures from the fire departments. The Oakdale Fire Department had 5 stipends and 7 tax abatements. Chesterfield Firehouse, Chief Nelson reported 3 tax abatements and 3 stipends. Mohegan, Chief Suarez, they had 5 stipends, no tax abatements. And from the Montville Fire Department, Chief Turner had no report. And our next meeting is on July 27th.
Thank you. Councilor Sebelia, Conservation Commission, Water Pollution Control Authority, and Youth Service Bureau Advisory Board.
All right, I'll start with Conservation Commission. Their Trails Day planning has been ongoing. It's going to be June 6th at 10 a.m. It's going to be at the Horton Cove Trail down by the police station. Also at 12 p.m. is going to be the unveiling of the General Lafayette sign. That'll be at noon, right in the same area. It's going to be put near the trailhead. So that's part of the America 250 celebration. We're going to be getting a donation of a white oak known as the Liberty Tree. It'll be donated by the state of Connecticut to commemorate America 250 as well. That'll be later in the year. July 8th, this is another America 250 event. One of our Conservation Commission ladies is on the 250 celebration committee as well. So I'll just mention some of that. July 4th, there's going to be church bells possibly rung at 2 p.m. 13 times to represent the original colonies. Conservation Center, they also did a work day on Saturday, April 11th. They cleaned up the parking lot. The garden was weeded. Some of the walkways were repaired. The Garden Club, also kind of part of the Conservation Commission, they've been doing a ton. I don't know if you've seen the Bulbs for Bella. It's a little garden out by the community center. It's right by the four-way. Bella Butsky was a member of our community who tragically passed away. The garden is a beautiful commemoration of her, so I'm glad they did that. WPCA, unfortunately, sewer rates had to be increased from 80 to 100 a quarter. This is the first increase in over 10 years, so it's something that had to be done. It's unfortunate with everything else that's going on, but it was necessary. They're also looking to get an accurate number on our current sewer capacity because we have a ton of projects and developments going on, and we kind of need to know if we can handle it at the WPCA. So they're trying to get an accurate number of sewer capacity, how much is available. Youth Services, Barbara covered a lot of it. Obviously, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. They're just encouraging you to check in on yourself and those you care about regularly. Healing is a process. It's not a sign of weakness to reach out for help or lean on a friend. They may need you just as much as you need them. Youth Services can obviously share access to many of their resources, too. So if anyone's struggling, don't hesitate to reach out. The May 15th drive-up walkthrough event here will be nice, too. It's for town employees primarily from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
They're also, their summer center will be going June 23rd to August 13th. It's open to 7th graders and up. It's $525 for the 8 weeks. They go on a ton of trips. They go to Ocean Beach, Brownstone, Providence Place Mall, Lake Compound. So if you have any older kids you know of that you're trying to keep busy in the summer, it's a great option. They're also opening up registration for their after-school program for next school year. That'll be June 1st to the 5th. So it's a great after-school program for a lot of the younger kids as well. So that's all.
All right, thank you. Councilor Southard, Board of Education, Farmers Market Committee, Library Committee, and Parks and Recreation Commission.
Okay, I'll start with Board of Ed. The 2025-26 year-to-date financial report was given by Director of Finance Deb Martin, and 12.6% of the budget remains uncommitted, and they are expecting to finish the fiscal year within the allotted budget. An HVAC update. Murphy, all six DOAS systems were successfully installed over April vacation, and new stairs were installed. Oakdale School, the final DOAS unit was not installed as the vendor had concerns regarding the supporting structure. Action Air is going to assess that. Mohegan and Montville High School Nutmeg Company's electricians were on site over April vacation, and Tile Save More Heating and Cooling requested an extension on the completion date, pushing that from August 14th to 26th to October 1st to 26th. This is due to lead time on getting units ordered, and it is not expected to impact any costs. The non-lapsing account, otherwise known as 2%, the current fund on that is $64,407. You're going to see some work going on at the high school sooner than later. They need to remove those pine trees that were left after putting in doing the work on the softball and the baseball fields. They found that roots were growing into the infield of the softball field, so they need to be removed. The town tree warden, John Carlson, he came and did an inspection and was made aware and agrees that this work needs to be done. And finally, Palmer School graduation is going to be June 15th at 6 o'clock at Montville High School Auditorium. Montville High School graduation is June 17th, 6 p.m. at the football field, and Tile Middle School promotion is June 18th at 5 o'clock at the football field. Parks and Recreation, Peter gave a lot of that information, but I did want to mention that at the Desjardins basketball court, there is a little play area and basketball court in the Desjardins, in the Richard Brown development. And one of our brand new basketball hoops backboard was shattered in an act of vandalism. Mm-hmm. So I always say, if you see something, say something. Get in touch with our police department if you know anything about that. Summer camp registration opens tomorrow. It's $80 a week, and the first week is June 22nd, with the last week starting on August 3rd. And Peter, you mentioned everything about Carnival, Food Truck Festival, and the community tax sale coming up. Farmers Market. The Farmers Market is going to open on July 7th, and we're going to be having a Montville USA 250 theme. And we'll be looking for vendors, community groups, and nonprofits to participate in that. We want to make it a pretty big deal. The library, we didn't have a meeting, but I just wanted to mention that they do have an Artist of the Month, Sophie Perkins, and there's going to be a Meet the Artist Day on May 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. And that's my report.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to Section 14, Appointments and Resignations. To consider and act on a motion to accept the resignation of Michael Maglio from the Gardner Lake Authority, effective immediately.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Baker.
Favor.
Councilor Karen.
Favor.
Councilor Jessica.
Favor.
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 Favor. Item 14B, consider an act on a motion to appoint John McNeil to fill a vacancy on the Gardner Lake Authority with a term to expire on July 13th, 2027.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker.
Favor.
Councilor Karen.
Favor.
Councilor Jaskowitz.
Favor.
Councilor Novak.
Favor.
Councilor Sebelius.
Favor.
Councilor Southard.
Favor.
Councilor May. Favor. Item C, consider an act of motion to appoint Mayor Leonard G. Bunnell Sr. and Finance Director Julie Chapman to the Ad Hoc Sustainability Materials Management Committee as non-voting members.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor Karen?
Favor.
Councilor Jeskowitz?
Favor.
Councilor Novak?
Favor.
Councilor
Favor.
Councilor
Slaughter?
Favor.
Councilor
May? Favor. Item 14D, to consider an act of motion to remove Noah Carver from the Parks and Rec Commission due to non-attendance, effective immediately.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor Karen?
Definitely favor.
Councilor Jaskowitz?
Favor.
Councilor Nova?
Favor.
Councilor
Sebelius? Favor.
Favor.
Councilor May?
Favor. Item 14E, consider an act on a motion to reappoint Will Spike to the Planning and Zoning Commission with a term to expire on June 6, 2030.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilor
Baker? Favor.
Councilor Karen?
Favor.
Councilor
Jaskowitz? Favor.
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 Favor. Item 14F, to consider an act on a motion to reappoint Vice Fonville Sr. to the Youth Advisory Board with a term to expire on June 10th, 2028.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor Karen?
Favor.
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 Favor. Item 14G, consider an act and a motion to reappoint Adam Heckel to the Conservation Commission with a term to expire on June 11th, 2028.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor
Karen? Favor.
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 Favor. Item 14H, consider an act and a motion to reappoint Richard Colbreacher to the Economic Development Commission with a term to expire on June 14th, 2030.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor
Karen? Favor.
Councilor
Jaskowitz? Favor.
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 Favor. Consider an act on a motion to waive the waiting period for appointments, Rule 14C of the Town Council Rules of Procedure for the Parks and Rec Commission.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Baker,
favor.
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 Favor. Item 14J, consider an act on a motion to appoint Bill Bauer to fill a vacancy on the Parks and Rec Commission with a term to expire on November 8th, 2026.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
With regret, favor.
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 Favor. Wow, that was weird. Item 15, unfinished business. We have none. Item 16, new business. The Town of Montville hereby resolves to refund taxes due to overpayments and corrections in the amount of $21,610.13 requested by the tax collector.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor Karen?
Favor.
Councilor Jaskowitz?
Favor.
Councilor Novak?
Favor.
Councilor
Sebelius? Favor.
Favor.
Councilor
Slaughter? Favor. Item 16B, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to review and approve the position description for the wastewater collection system operator training as recommended by the Town's Administration Rules and Procedure Standing Committee.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
Mayor McDaniel, former Mayor McDaniel, came to the meeting as the administrator, presented the thing for the kid. To come as a training, the application, the job description, excuse me, it's been a long day. And he made a good point to bringing in some younger people and different people and getting them interested into the thing, right? You have anything to add, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
You good?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor Karen?
Favor.
Councilor
Jaskowitz? Favor.
Councilor
Favor.
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 Favor. Item C, the town of Montville hereby resolves to, we'll probably get started on this. Do we have dates in mind, Mayor, on this?
Yeah, it was so difficult, but really the only day I can come up with is the next council meeting, which is June 8th. We could, since the council meeting's at 7, we could probably schedule one at, say, 5:30. I'm sure that the one for...
Let's make it 6.
I'm sorry?
6, he said.
Well, remember that the Permanent Building Committee, you may not get a lot of attendance there,
volunteers.
But for the next one, keep that in mind.
Let's do that one at 6, and the other one at 6:45.
So what do we decide? June 8th at 6:30?
No, we haven't actually read it. Motion.
No.
I was trying to get it done.
I think we can fill
in the blank when we get there. Because
my point is that you probably are going to want to make that earlier.
6.
The next one we'll probably need a lot more time for the ordinance for the ATV.
Right. So we can put that one at 6 and the other one at 6:45 or 6:40.
Okay.
Yeah, but
all right, we can
do
that.
I don't think it's going to have time. Do what you want.
No, we're...
I've looked at some other dates, and there's really not a lot of possibilities.
So we still, we're on June 8th?
That's a good day. I think the date's fine.
I think we should just do it that day.
This one?
I don't get a vote.
6 o'clock.
The Permanent Building Committee should be quick.
Yeah.
That one,
right.
Yeah, that one should be quick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right.
And so.
All right, item 16C. We'll discuss that. The town of Montville hereby resolves to consider and act on a motion to introduce and set the date for a public hearing for the ordinance titled Ordinance Establishing a Permanent Building Committee on June 8th at 2026. At 6:45 p.m., the public hearing will be held at the Montville Town Hall in the Town Council Chambers.
So move.
Second.
All right, now we have discussion. Let's discuss. Everyone like the time and the date?
It's the next council meeting. I was thinking the same thing, to be honest, but not the time, but the date. I think I was thinking like 6 o'clock for the... That's what I was thinking.
Well, it's an hour before a meeting. I don't think that one
okay.
will last. I don't think that one will last. I think
okay.
Councilor Novak was saying that it should go okay. quick. Do you want to make it 6:30 just to be safe?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll go along with that.
Does anyone oppose changing it to 6:30?
Yep.
All right. So we have a motion. It's been seconded.
I'll make a motion, make it 6:30, not 6:45.
Can I just say one more thing? I think we're going to need a lot more time for the next one. So if that one's at 6:30, the next one's at 6:45?
No,
we'd have it. We can have it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I know it's kind of weird. We're going like...
Okay.
But that's the way the mayor put it in here, so
okay.
blame him. Confusion. All right. Roll call vote for item 16C, please.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor Karen?
Favor.
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 Favor. I just want to be clear that that's at 6:30 on June 8th.
Yep.
Item 16D. The town of Montville hereby resolves to consider and act on a motion to introduce and set the date for a public hearing for an ordinance entitled All-Terrain Vehicles Ordinance on June 8th, 2026 at 6 p.m. The public hearing will be held at the Montville Town Hall and in the Town Council Chambers.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? Does everyone think 30 minutes is enough time for
that? If it isn't, we'll just have to go over, that's all.
All right, there you go. I like that. All right, roll call.
Councilor Baker?
Favor.
Councilor Karen?
Favor.
Councilor Jaskiewicz?
Favor.
Councilor Novak?
Favor.
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 Favor. The town of Mount Vehicle resolves to amend the solid waste collection disposal regulations as recommended by the Public Works Solid Waste Standing Committee and approved by the Town Administration Rules Procedure Standing Committee.
So move. Second.
Any discussion? Councilor Baker, you want to discuss on this one?
No, not unless anybody's got any questions. We've been working on this for almost a year now. And the committee has been doing their due diligence and looking into every little nook and cranny that we could find. John Carlson was involved in it, Flo Turner, and all of us, obviously, all of the people on solid waste, Councilor Karen and Councilor Southard. So I just want to thank every one of them for all their diligence and their hard work. Like I said, it took a long time, but we got it.
All right. And the regulations are with the town clerk right now, or where are the regulations?
No, we're just waiting for them to go through this body. Once we approve it tonight, then I'll send it off to the town clerk. I've got to take all the reds and turn them to blacks and send it off to Katie, and it basically is going to go into effect July 1.
All right.
You know what, Mr. Chairman, if I might, you know what, Mr. Baker has worked on this amazing. Brian, you have. Between Flo bringing forward the concerns, John Carlson bringing some forward, and then again with you, you brought it back to us. Some of the stuff that we have not even seen, what it has been costing our taxpayers, you know, thousands of dollars, but you've worked very hard on it. I mean, we're working with you, but you highlighted things. You and Flo brought it forward and just kept bringing it back, saying, hey, you know what, we need to look at this. Because, you know what, you took your time on it, and you brought credit to it. So I want to thank you that for doing that. You really stood up on this one. And this, you know, our supervisor, Flo Turner, there. You know, even our public works director, he chimed in a couple times too. But you know, I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So moved. Any other comments? Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Baker.
Favor.
Councilor Karen.
Favor.
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 Favor. Item F. The town of Mount Vehicle hereby resolves to approve the funds necessary to implement the tentative agreement with the Montville Firefighters Local 3386 IAFF for the term of July 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2028, pursuant to Connecticut General Statutes 7-474B, authorizing the Mayor Leonard G. Bunnell to execute documents consistent with the terms of a tentative agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker.
Opposed.
Councilor Karen.
Opposed.
Councilor Jaskiewicz.
Opposed.
Councilor Novak.
Opposed.
Councilor Sebelius.
Opposed.
Opposed.
Councilor May.
Opposed. Item G, the town of Mount Vehicle hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Leonard Bunnell to make applications for a community investment fund planning grant round 9 in the amount of $250,000 to fund the Montville Route 32/163 intersection improvement project. The SIFT Community Investment Fund offers planning grants for qualified municipalities to promote economic or community development. If awarded, this planning grant will implement initial recommendations of the SIFT round 5 funded, revived, and renew routes 163-32, which specifically identified deficiencies of the intersection, which create barriers to creating a safe, vibrant, and pedestrian-friendly center.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Mayor?
Basically, Dennis has already spoke on this. It's a continuation of the plan of development and changes to the intersection of 32 and 163. Dennis has done a good job in bringing this forward, something that's going to pay off big dividends in the future.
This one's a planning grant, right?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Roll call, please.
Councilor Baker.
Favor.
Councilor Karen.
Favor.
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 Favor. Item H, the Town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Bunnell to make applications for a Community Investment Fund Capital Grant Round 9 in the amount of $2,662,800 to fund the Camp Oakdale Complex Improvements. The Community Investment Fund offers capital grants for qualifying municipalities to promote improvements in infrastructure. If awarded, this capital grant will fund many of the Parks and Rec Department's capital improvements projects listed in our SIP plan as adopted by the Parks and Recreation Commission.
So moved.
Second.
All right, discussion?
Basically, the Parks and Rec Director has mentioned this in his presentation, hoping to get the other projects going. The lion's share of it last time was the big parking lot, but your packet, it lists the different projects that we're trying to get done. I think this is a great idea, and hopefully we can get some support from our elected team in Hartford.
All right. Roll call vote, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. All right. At this time, remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit.
Good evening again. Timothy Condon for the Montville Firefighters, Local 3386. As we know, the legislative session came to an end, and Hartford was very busy addressing some of the issues facing the state fire service. And just wanted to make this body aware of a pretty significant bill that has passed both houses. The governor has not signed it yet, but it's HB 5460. It is a very substantial change to the fire service, and it has large impacts to the town of Montville. The bill, among other things, requires the community to report to the state call data. We have to report who we use as every single firefighter, their ranks, their abilities, and then any agreements that we have to link our CAD eventually to the state. I want to make you aware of this because there's a lot of dates in there that we have to act by, some by October 1st, some by next July. And some of these things we've been speaking about for quite a while with public safety. Some of these things are under a year, and the mayor and I have talked multiple times that, you know, government isn't always, you know, fast, but, you know, that leads to better efficiencies. But in this case, we're going to be held to some deadlines that this body needs to be aware of, because some of these things might need to go to TARP instead of public safety, not because they can't do it, only because of the speed at which we might be required to move. I encourage everybody to go and look at that bill. It among other things, also strengthens the municipal powers over contractors. This does seem to line up well with our community, because all of your contracts with your fire companies expire next year. So you're going to be negotiating with them, which is actually good, because it's going to require that to abide by this, again, if the governor signs it. And again, I only want to tell you this because there are some tight timelines. And, you know, maybe the governor doesn't sign it, but if he does, we're going to have to act pretty quickly because some of the basic information we don't currently possess. One of those things that we had was before public safety. It's been there for about 2 years on a system to retain data. I'm not, you know, casting stones. It's been there for a while, but that's one of the things that we're going to have to move on, and the town is going to be required. These things fall to the town, not the fire companies. I know I'm running out of time here, but there's also quite a bit of other bills that came before Hartford, volunteer incentives. Hartford is aware of the shortfall that we're experiencing in manning in the fire service, and they made a big push this year in talking with our delegation up in Hartford. They did a lot of good work, and you should look into it, because there's a lot of timelines that we're going to be facing. So thank you.
What was that House bill number again?
5460.
5460?
HB 5460. When you look it up, there was an amendment. I believe it's Amendment A. When you look at it, the best thing I could do, what I did was looked at the Office of, was it Legislative Affairs or whatever. They gave like the legal analysis. That's mm-hmm. probably the best. But again, the governor hasn't signed it yet. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'll go one more time. Remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. All right, remarks from the counselors. I'll start with Councilor Novak.
Yep. Hi. Thanks. Thank you for everyone for coming this evening. Earlier, in my economic development report, I forgot to mention something, that we have 12 new businesses in the town of Montville since January. So that's a good thing. And I wanted to congratulate Officer Fazzino on his award. And public safety should be a priority everywhere. And thank you for your service and doing that. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Councilor Baker.
Yeah, thanks everybody for coming out tonight. I know it's another late meeting. And we got through everything as quick as we could. But thanks for hanging with us and being here and coming up and speaking before us. Officer Fazzino, congratulations as well for doing an outstanding job and getting the award you got this year. And look forward to seeing another good turnout next month. Thank you.
Councilor Sebelia.
Yeah, just echo, thank you guys for coming and staying. I thought the presentations were great. Congrats to Officer Fazzino. The You Good Bro campaign has taken off with the youth services, and they do an awesome job down there, so it was nice to see them. And Dennis, great job on your presentation. I know there's a lot to it. We appreciate your work. I know there's a lot that goes into it. And the Memorial Day Parade is Sunday at 1 o'clock, so hopefully see you guys out there.
All right. Councilor Karen?
You know what? I'd like to thank Dennis on the housing for the seniors is something I've been pushing for many years and trying to get some partners on that, and you stepped up on that, and I look forward to, you know, doing whatever I have to make sure the seniors have a nice, safe, and affordable place to go for their golden years, as they say. And also I want to thank the public. And also I forgot to thank Lindsay O'Brien, who's one of our commissioners on aging, for raising almost $9,000 for our senior center. Wow. So that was a big push for us. I give her some credit on that. Did her all by herself on that part right there. And the seniors welcome all the support they can get down to our senior center. And I thank you.
Thank you to the public for coming out.
Extended day today. Believe me, some of us have been here since 5 o'clock this afternoon. And to the councilors, thank you. This is our job. And remember, we're always working for you. Always. No, not you, Peter.
Councilor Southern?
Congratulations to Officer Fazzino. Well earned. Happy to hear the animal control facility is this close. And youth services, You Good Bro. I'm a teacher, and I see every day what's going on with mental health, especially with our young people. And it's a great campaign and something that is very much needed. Thank you.
I just want to say that, you know, we're actively still working on the budget. It is a tough year. We've had a lot of unfunded mandates, just like Mr. Congdon mentioned earlier about this new House bill that's going to affect our town. We've probably gotten about five of these over the past 2 years that have cost our town, but some of these things are really needed. I mean, we need a better, you know, we need to be striving for better police services and fire services. But the state will put these mandates on us, and we have to absorb them. Our taxpayers have to pick up that space. So just in a few years, we've already, the state's already imposed several million dollars of taxes that the Montville citizens have to pick up. And they're all for noteworthy cause, and not one of them are that. But it's just something to understand that we're in a very volatile environment. All these tariffs that the federal government is posing is causing a lot of issues with buying materials, the cost of electricity, cost of fuel, trying to get repair parts. These things are all affecting every aspect of the Board of Education and the town. And these are things that, we have to pay for if we want to have good services in our community. So when we work in the next week or so on getting this budget resolved, keep in mind that our number one goal is to keep taxes as low as possible. But at the same time, there's forces out there that we have absolutely no control over. And with that, I just want to make sure that I know we all had – all the town councils were at the Finance Committee tonight. We're going to have another meeting, and we're going to get to this and make sure we have the best budget we can for the citizens of Montville. With that, Mayor?
Yeah, I want to shout out again to Barbara Lockhart and her staff for the work they did on the You Good Bro program. They just created this out of their on their own and made it work, and it was funded by the opioid money. She deserves a big compliment for the hard work that she put into making this program and the recognition that it's getting, publicity that it's getting. It takes a lot of work. Against Officer Fazzino, we really do appreciate you being part of our team. I know you're not here right now, but Chief, Lieutenant, make sure you tell him how much we really do appreciate what he's doing for the town and his contributions to the town. With the 250th celebration, there's going to be a notice on our town website that will scroll across the top of the main page where you'll be able to tap onto the link for the calendar of events. There's things going on, like on July 4th, they're going to be ringing of the all the church bells in town that we can come up with. 13 times in recognition of the 13 colonies. July 8th is going to be a reading of the Declaration of Independence right here at the Town Hall with a fife and drum corps, hopefully. But they've done a lot, and not a lot of people are aware of it, but make sure you look at the town website so you can see what's going on. Elaine Hess, Andrea Perosa, and Michelle Westcamper are the main force behind coming up with these things. There'll be a reading at the library, a lot of things, and it's going to be a really good summer with all the things going on. You'll notice that the town hall lights are going to be red, white, and blue this year. One of our guys had a great idea here, and we took advantage of it. This year, the parade, in addition to the parade, is going to be fireworks. And it's going to be, that was funded by the tribe after the parade. But thanks to Sammy Petrowski at the auctioneer's place. I call it Sammy's place now. But he's agreed to let us use the property to launch the fireworks. And so it's going to be a really good year. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved. So
moved. Second.
You got to agree.